got the EFL. It's the Football League podcast reaching 100 not outs coming up. It's not just Santa getting the sack as Oxford look to Buckingham up their ideas and Matt's not tailor-made for Rovers. We'll look ahead to the weekend's action and all the other nonsense we've been getting away with for the last 99 episodes. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Yeah, hold your Christmas parties, gang. This is our 100th episode. Spectacular. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I've got my two pals who've been with me, well, I was going to say for the previous 99, probably at least in the 90s, both of them in terms of caps. Adrian Clark, you okay?
Hello. Yeah, no, special occasion. I can't believe we're not down the pub. We're getting very boring in our old age, aren't we? Have we got 100 listeners yet? Or have we not made the note? No, thank you to everyone that's been with us all the way through. We appreciate it. Please tell your friends so we can have more. And we'll keep the cholesterol chat that we just had off air. We'll keep that off air for the next 100 episodes if we can, because I'm sure you don't need to hear it.
Then we really would just have 100 listeners. We do have plenty more than that, I can assure you. But we could always do with more if you want to tell somebody. Sam Parkin, how you doing?
I'm really good, mate. Yeah, I think we do well to get together in the summer, really, considering how busy the lives are with mainly children, but football as well, and other activities. Golf for me. I wouldn't want to speculate what you two get up to in your spare time, but we're all very busy, so let's cut ourselves some slack that we've not been able to get together to mark this very important occasion today. So let's hope we record some podcast gold, at least.
Yeah, we'll give it a whirl. Spare time lol, but yeah, I take your point generally. All right, before we get going, let me tell you that our partners Quinbet have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £35 plus 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet worth up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. All right, we're going to start today by talking sacking season. Oxford United head coach Des Buckingham has been P45'd after just over a year in charge. The U's have dropped within a point of the Championship relegation zone. Buckingham had led them to promotion from League One via the playoffs last season. The powers that be at the club asked ChatGPT to come up with the most generic statement ever, and it obliged. It said the club would like to place on record its thanks to Des for everything he's done during his time with us and wish him well for the future. The appointment of a new head coach will be confirmed in due course. Now, that's gone down like a fart in church with the majority of supporters, so the chairman, Grant Ferguson, has since published a lengthy piece on the Oxford website. In it, he said, "We'll be forever grateful to Des for helping us reach this point, but we believe that in order to protect the best interests of the club, this decision needed to be taken." Adrian, it's a familiar story, this, isn't it? Win the playoffs and then you're out of a job within a couple of months. This one feels particularly, maybe harsh isn't the right word, maybe disappointing is. I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's borderline disgraceful. I do. Oxford are in the Championship. Haven't been there for a quarter of a century, and they're there because he masterminded a brilliant end to the season that culminated in a fantastic performance at Wembley to beat Bolton. I was there. It was a tactical masterclass. He nullified all of Bolton's threats and came up with a game plan that suited his team. And this is the thanks you get. I know the stats. You know, they have one in 15. I get that. But, you know, it's a long way to go in the season. And if on closer inspection, I think it's really important to look at this, because it's easy to just throw about that and say, oh, you've won one in 15. Well, look, you know, 8 of Oxford's 10 losses have come against top 12 sides. They've lost who they're supposed to lose to. Their record against the bottom half is 1-3, drawn 4, lost 2. That's not a team in crisis. That's a team that's doing about, you know, what's expected of them. And, you know, he's had a lot of injuries to cope with. He hasn't got the biggest of squads. And yeah, I thought he deserved a lot longer than that. And add in the fact that he is one of their own, you know, he's from the city, you know, he supports the club. I think it's a bang out of order dismissal and a massive own goal. with the fans, because the fans are now questioning the ownership, who are clearly panicking because they've seen the value of their club rise and they're desperate not to go back down, so that their commodity is worth less money. So yeah, really disappointed by this one. I think he's a really good coach and I think he'll do a good job somewhere else.
Yeah, again, in that statement from the chairman, it talks about wanting to be a stable championship club and that always being the plan. They probably just got there a bit quicker than they thought that they would do. Sam, just looking at the upcoming fixtures, they got Leeds away this weekend. I mean, with the best will in the world, you know, they've struggled to get a result there regardless of who the coach is. After that, back-to-back home games against Cardiff and Plymouth, and then away at Millwall, who, as we were record, haven't got a manager. To me, that looks like that's an opportunity for Des Buckingham to have turned it round. Are they maybe thinking, well, let's let a caretaker go to Elland Road and then we'll get the new guy in for those back-to-back home games, which look pretty winnable, and maybe he gets off to a good start in a way that they think Buckingham wouldn't have been able to get points from those games?
Possibly. Probably with you that he should have been given longer and should have had the opportunity to lead them in those games. They could get absolutely spanked at Elland Road. I think the uncertainty would play a part here. And also, I think it's Craig Short who stepped into the role previously. I mean, what a experience that's going to be, taking a team who are already wounded up to Elland Road where they can do no wrong, really, in front of their own fans. So, yeah, it's going to be tough getting through that. Then they need to make an appointment really quickly. But yeah, completely agree. I was as shocked at this announcement as I was with the Neil Harris one a few days previously. You would anticipate him being backed, not being sacked, by the owners, and really surprised. So tough for him, yeah, for all those reasons that Clarkie mentioned. Obviously an Oxford lad as well, came back from India to take the role. A dream it must have been for him. Started the season so well and absolutely definitely been mitigating circumstances. I think Brannigan missed early part of the season. Brought in, was it Nelson from Leicester, the centre-half who's hardly featured. So I think there has been, and I think there has been a move to, there were granted a couple of more experienced lads, but a lot of young lads with, like, I think really high potential came in the summer. A lot of eye-catching signings, probably, you know, in tandem with Des Buckingham's his past, his experience with younger players and what have you, and the ownership probably going a slightly different way to think about safeguarding the future and proving players, selling them on and what have you, making themselves more sustainable. But I think Clarkie's probably absolutely bang on that. The picture just changes. People's, I suppose, ambitions change when you become a championship club and the threat of relegation is a real one. So they've jumped when, for me, they should have stood still and just given them a little bit more time. Be fascinated to see where they go next, whether they go for someone just to try and keep them in the division. I mean, the biggest surprise for me this morning is that Gary Rowett has never played for Oxford. I mean, he stinks of Oxford, doesn't he? Is that Cambridge and Burton yellow? I don't know. I just thought he played. He should have been there when Dean Saunders was wrapping up his career. That's the era that I'm thinking.
With Wang on the front of his shirt.
Just coming through and then got his move to Leicester or whatever. But he hasn't. But he's seems to be quite high on everyone's...
Well, it's him and John Terry who are the joint favourites there.
Blimey.
I mean, that they're so disparate, aren't they? You know, you've got one guy who's had a bunch of championship experience, one guy who's never had a head coach's job. That, to me, says that they don't know anything.
Well, I would say it would say a lot about the owners, which way they go, but... Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I think Bloomfield's been rumoured as well to be, obviously Millwall were quite interested in him. So that would be kind of in keeping maybe with Des Buckingham, young coach with forward thinking, modern ideas. And yeah, Gary Rowett would keep them in the division, possibly give them a great chance, wouldn't he? I think given that his track record would be a good fit in the short term. And John Terry would be one to, you would think, bums on seats and get a few autographs. And I'm not sure ultimately, having not been given the opportunity at a club attractive enough, or even interviews, I think that John Terry has come out and said, would this attract him? Not sure. This would be
commutable,
a big enough role for him.
It's commutable.
Yeah,
from where he is. And yeah, I don't know. I went and had a little look at a message board of Oxford fans. Let me tell you, John Terry's not the one they want. But not just for because of his inexperience, just for personality and other things that he's done down the years off the pitch. I think that they don't want him there.
Well, those two overwhelming favourites. It's a long way out until you get to the next runners and riders, but we shall see. Elsewhere, Bristol Rovers sacked Matt Taylor after their defeat by Birmingham, which left them 2 points above the League One relegation zone. He was appointed this time last year on a 3.5-year deal. His team have only won 6 out of 19 league games this season. 2-0 defeat. The weekend was their third straight loss, leaving them 20th in the table. Clarkey, I thought the writing was on the wall for this one last week when they announced that Lee Catamol had been appointed to the coaching staff and Taylor called it a club appointment.
It was obvious, wasn't it? It was really, really clear what was happening there, and for that reason I guess Catamol must be a name that is,
you know,
among
the favourite is
Buckingham. Is it Buckingham? Yeah. Look, he's a good coach, and you know he would be an excellent choice. I did see this one coming, obviously not just because of that Catamol news. They're tightening things up defensively. I think we've all seen that, but if you look a little bit closer, I think the goalkeeper has had a big say in their excellent defensive record or improved defensive record. Josh Griffiths has had a cracking season. That no team has faced more shots than Bristol Rovers in League One. The expected goals against is the worst in League One. So he's been kept very busy. And then you flip it around and, you know, only one team's had fewer shots on target than Bristol Rovers. So at both ends of the pitch, not really functioning like they should. No one has scored more than 2 league goals. You know, it's Christmas. No one's even got 3 yet. So that tells you really where the problems lie at the top end of the pitch. So, you know, they've got some talented players, definitely, but it's not worked. And yeah, I think the writing's been on the wall for a little while here for Matt Taylor. And yeah, Buckingham would be a good choice. I'm sure Rowett's in the mix. Schumacher, the usual suspects, I guess, will be considered for this one.
Did Rowett ever play for Bristol Rovers? He feels a bit Bristol Roversy as well, but
no connection
with them either.
Can I just come in there? Because I read an article from about a week ago that said that Bristol Rovers had had 2 shots on target in 443 minutes. And I thought, well, they lost at Birmingham at the weekend as well and didn't score. I'm going to have a little look at that. By my maths, which is probably a bit sketchy, they've had 7 shots on target in 630 minutes, which is 7 games of football. I think Clarkey laid down a few of the stats there and a few of the issues. The issues is they cannot have a shot, let alone score a goal. Yeah, top goal scorer on 2. I think some good defensive players, really good goalkeeper who I thought, he was at Cheltenham a few years ago, I think, on loan from West Brom, got them promoted, was outstanding, really top goalkeeper. I think if you look at the squad, this isn't a great squad in League One. I think there's a lack of real established. There's Chris Martin's obviously still there, but I think sure things in terms of the forward players, I think that's a massive problem. And listen, the old gas heads would know a lot better than me. I think that's probably been one of the most problematic clubs outside maybe the top couple of divisions for a number of years now. And I wouldn't be able to go hugely into the details, but you look at the managers that they've gone through, the different styles. I think it's a club that is probably still, after what Joey Barton got promoted, didn't he, a few years ago, they're searching to find a proper plan and identity at the moment. And I think, again, to continue a theme, I think trying to improve the football, younger players, and Matt Taylor's probably lacked maybe a few more senior heads or a few more established players to give them a better chance of competing. So I think it's a tough job for anyone gets it. But as always, it's an attractive one because it's a great city, Bristol. It's a big club potentially when you get them going, good atmosphere, big support base. So it's like a bit like Swindon in that regard. People always be throwing their CV in and be desperate to try and get it going.
Mm. Yeah, they are in the middle of a takeover of sorts. The current co-owner, Hussein Al Sayed, will acquire the 45% of the club owned by the Al Qadi family over the next 18 months. Maybe that'll give him a bit more stability. Good luck to Matt Taylor too in whatever he does next. Sam, I know you know him, and I believe he's a listener to the podcast. He's probably giving himself a week off from anything football related. Enjoy your Christmas dinner if
yeah,
you are.
He's a good lad, isn't he? Yeah, he's a good guy.
Take some time out. That's important to do, as we've mentioned in the past. But anyway, Bristol Rovers and Oxford both looking for new managers, unless they both appointed them during the time it's taken us to record and publish this podcast, which is always a possibility. Last bit of Gary Rowett news. He played 4 games for Everton in the Premier League. Hands up if either of you knew that.
No.
Sam, you're going to say, didn't you?
I read it this morning. I didn't want to. I didn't want to go in too heavy.
Charlton and Leicester are the two that stand out to me.
We'd be embarrassed because I know that Gary's partial to a podcast of ours as well. So I wouldn't want to bump into him on Saturday and be blushing.
Who else has Gary played for then?
Cambridge, Everton, Blackpool loan, Derby, where he made the most appearances. Yeah, Birmingham, course, Leicester, yeah. Charlton, Burton, managerial, Burton, Birmingham, Derby, Stoke, Millwall, Birmingham, Oxford, TBC. We shall see. Good luck, Gary, if you're going for the interview this week, and maybe you're listening on the way down. Next today, we'll turn our attention to the weekend's action. In the Championship, it is Bluebirds and Blades. Not a bad name for an album, that. Two teams from different countries who might well be in different leagues next season, meeting at the Cardiff City Stadium as Cardiff host table toppers Sheffield United. Our friend Daniel Story has written about the malaise around Cardiff at the moment. A shade over 15,000 there to see their most recent home game, a 2-0 defeat to Preston, their third home loss in a row. Sam, they had won 4 in a row before that. Omar Rizzo is going to stay there for the rest of the season. Feels to me like they're just drifting towards an apathetic kind of relegation. Supporters understandably have lost interest. Feels like the owner has too. It's not going great.
No, and someone of my vintage would have loved going to Ninian Park, which I did. Loved playing there. And Cardiff, the supporters are great. I mean, it was incredibly intimidating as a visiting player, and that's not really the case. They get going a little bit behind the goal, don't they? But it's such a vast stadium. Just feels like you don't have that kind of animosity, I suppose, you want to make it a hard place to play.
It is for Wales games, isn't it? I guess it's, again, it's just about what the team's doing on the pitch. Is it the
numbers, though, isn't it?
Players or other way around?
But it's always, it's half empty, isn't it? Like Ninian Park, Ninian Park didn't sell out all the time, but it was because it was scruffy and it was right next to the pitch. And I don't know what it was. It was intimidating. Same with Swansea, actually, at Vetch Field.
Yeah.
So I think both clubs have lost something.
I think so. And even under Warnock, I suppose, when they played, you know, aggressive football in your face, it never really felt that intimidating. Maybe it was a little bit, and it's probably a product of them losing their way, where we're left with this kind of sense about it. Strange timing, wasn't it, the last few months in terms of how well he started, Omar Rizzo, and they delayed. They started plateauing, or even worse, losing their way, and all of a sudden he gets the job. So I think it is probably increasingly difficult for him at the moment, considering they're on a downward spiral. I noticed in the last game at Stoke, he played a back three. I think it's the only time this season. And if you rewind 3 or 4 weeks, I was talking about the kind of redemption of certain players, Tanner playing more consistently, Robinson, I think, still far and away their top goal scorer. He was back in form. Colwell, Robertson in the midfield was looking the part. None of these players played last time out. Some of them on the bench, and it changed shape. I think all of a sudden he's having to change things, have a look at different options. There was a better performance from Chris Willick. They're actually okay in this game at Stoke in the 2-2 draw, but they rallied here against the top team so far this season, and this is why I'd be really heavy on a Sheffield United victory. Played 5, lost 5. Conceded 14, Cardiff, and scored just the solitary goal. They've had a few draws against some of the better teams in the division, but I think that there's going to be a bit of a gulf here, despite Sheffield United not fully clicking, fully in rhythm. But I think it could be a long, hard winter for Cardiff, especially when you roll in the injuries. Ramsey looks like he's going to be out still long term. Turnbull, I think, latterly, NG is a big player for them. So I think problems with big players, problems on the pitch, and this would be a big surprise if they get anything, I think, in the Sheffield United fixture.
Sheffield United, by contrast, Clarkey, buoyant in every regard, not least because they're on the brink of becoming the latest club to be taken over by American investors. That might even have happened by the time you hear this. Very timely for them, just before the transfer window. I mean, it looks like they're sauntering their way to promotion, but are they going to be any more competitive if and when they do go up? I guess that might be a question Blades fans are already asking themselves.
Well, it's so difficult, isn't it, to be competitive. But yeah, they're going to have to spend money, aren't they? And look, it's a good time to spend money, isn't it, when you've got new owners in. You would imagine they'll have put some aside, especially once the TV money sort of is guaranteed for them. So, yeah, let's see. I mean, they've already been linked with Ben Brereton Diaz, who did so well for them last season. They've been linked with Louis Barry, haven't they, who's on loan at Stockport, doing ever so well, from Villa, of course. So, you know, they're two players they're looking at. I do think in forward areas, they probably need to pep things up a little bit. That's where they're a little bit light. They've not been free scoring, have they, at all? They've only once this season, Sheffield United, you said they're sauntering to promotion. They haven't sauntered to victory that many times. They've only scored 3 goals or more once in the entire season. You know, normally 2 goals is enough for them because they keep so many clean sheets, 14 of them. That's one more than Burnley. Obviously, we've waxed lyrical about the keeper. I think Wilder deserves a bit of credit here. He's, I think, built a style that suits the players that he's got. He's got a lot of runners, you know, out in the wide areas, players that want empty space to run into. He's got really good ball winners, although they're out at the moment, Arblaster and Vinny Souza. But he's got good ball winners. And for that reason, he's not fixated on possession. You know, they average less than 50%. Share of the ball, Sheffield United, which is unusual for a top side. But it's all about, let's win it back, bang, we'll go at them, and they'll be efficient, and they really are efficient, aren't they? So yeah, the last win summed it up, 2-0 at home to Plymouth. Didn't really play that well, but Gus Harmer scores with a volley, individual quality, and then they get a pen late on to win the game. So yeah, I think I don't see this being a classic. I can absolutely see the Blades going there and churning out a 1 or 2 niler in South Wales, where a couple of moments of individual quality make the difference. I also like the fact they'll go long. It's not just about pretty football with Wilder. We know his teams can do that. They'll boom it as well if they have to. That goal they scored at Millwall, Sam, just a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, or a week ago? Great long pass, I think it was from Robinson to Harmer, slips it in for Brewster to score. So yeah, they're grinding out. Look, but for their points deduction, they'd be 5 points clear now. So they're worthy leaders.
Yeah, well, not too far away from them at Burnley. They've got the Mate Vidra derby at Turf Moor this weekend as Watford come to town.
I saw him last week. Did you see? He was playing for Vittoria Pilsen.
For Pilsen. Commentated on him last season, nonetheless. Yeah. And I was like, is that the Mate Vidra? He's got to be about 58 years old, but it turns out he's not, and he's thriving in the Conference League or Europa League, whichever one they're in this season. It was Conference League last season. Anyway, he's not involved this weekend. Burnley 8 unbeaten, but still not whelming particularly. Zion Fleming aside, obviously, visitors might just be finding a cure for their travel sickness. They've only lost one of their last 4 on the road. Clarky, if you want to start by talking about that Fleming goal in the win at Norwich, then please feel free. I'm sure we all enjoyed it. But this is a big one for them, isn't it? Because they've got back-to-back aways against Sheffield United and Borough to follow. And they have stuttered a little bit at home of late. It's a potential banana skin here.
Yeah, definitely, because they're not high scoring, and Watford do have goals in them, home and away, don't they? So obviously they've been less prolific away, but they've got dangerous forwards, Watford. So yeah, it could be one that they've got to be careful with. Yeah, I mean, the Fleming goal was magic, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant. And they need more of that. They need more from him. They need more from Sarmiento, Rodriguez, Anthony, etc. You know, none of these guys have scored more than 2 goals yet, and they're playing for a team that's gunning for promotion. It's mad, really. I mean, Josh Brownhill's way clear on 7. So those guys have got to step up with more regular goals. There's no doubt about that. I love Colly Osho, by the way. I think he's brilliant. No one's created more than he has this season in open play. 27 chances. He's probably their best presser. He's their best crosser. He's definitely their best dribbler. You know, and he gets his shots away, Colly Osho. The one thing missing is regular goals. So he's got to just add that to his game. And as a consequence of all those players sort of underperforming in the final third, 14 teams have had more shots on target than Burnley. It's crazy. But they've been quite clinical. And obviously we know about how good they are in defence. Yeah, I mean, 70% of their home games have brought back a clean sheet. So, yeah, they're pretty solid. But, yeah, this game, I just sense they might need 2 to win this one. So, yeah, let's see if they got it in their locker.
Scored 2 at home since September. They've blanked against Preston, QPR and Derby at Turf Moor. Sam, you still mocking my claim that Watford might make the playoffs this season? They are out of it on goal difference as we speak.
He's like a goldfish, Matt. I never said that. I think it was Watford that said that. It was Clarkey that said Watford were going to struggle. Not me. Come on.
But when I said they could get into the playoffs, a smirk fell across both of your brows, as I recall.
Is that right? I maybe changed my tune a little bit after I saw them at Argyle a couple of weeks ago. I think it'd still be a big shout. Still be a bit of a surprise. I don't think fully convincing, certainly not for a half against West Brom the other day. And I definitely felt, I don't know about you, Clark, if you've seen it, that it was a foul madger for the second Watford goal. It came in from the left-hand side at a bit of a kind of loopy cross, and Madger was just lobbed over by one of the Watford players, and Bayo stuck it in. 2 brilliant goals from Bayo. I think the story at the moment, well, certainly from this game, was the change in shape. Spoke about Cardiff trying something new. Watford have been a back three and a successful one at that. Back four at the weekend against West Brom. Fullbacks available, wing backs available on the bench, but he played Morris at left back, who's actually had a really good season, but I'm not sure that will be repeated. He looked a little bit exposed in that role, but what it did do, it allowed Tom Cleverley to play 2 wingers. He's been going with the tens. Quite narrow, and he played Rocco Vatta, who is a player that the fans have been talking a lot about, young boy from Celtic, and he scored at Hull and he made the 2 goals here. Don't think he had an outstanding performance, but obviously involved in the 2 goals. Barr on the other side is more of a winger, and even though when he's deployed as a 10, he does drift to the right hand side, but they had real pace there. It allowed Bayo to stay central and not have to run the channels too often. Chakvetadze looked like he was back to his best as well against West Brom. So yeah, they've got players that can hurt Burnley. It's just Burnley, the defensive record is just unprecedented. And I was having a little look earlier, they've conceded 2 goals once this season in the League Cup against Wolves, across the board. And 1 defeat in 18. And Watford, really high in terms of XG and XG conceded, and they have been throughout the season. But the last kind of period, last 7 matches, there's only been 11 goals in their games. So that Sheffield Wednesday victory was the one before. So that was a huge outlier. They are actually defending pretty well at the moment. Only 5 goals have gone in their own net in the last 7 games. On the flip side, Burnley have only conceded 2. In the last 7. So I think this is low scoring. I think I'm probably not as confident that Watford will score, but they may nick a point, or it'll probably be a narrow, narrow Burnley home win. But yeah, Watford continuing to exceed expectation. And I think if they were to get into the playoffs, I will be making little smirks at you throughout the season, Matthew, because that would be a big surprise to me. And one of the stories of the season, Championship season.
Apologies, by the way, for saying that you had a smirk across your brow, because that's not possible, is it? Because the top part of your head and your mouth.
I don't know why I went and repeated it there. I lost my chain of thought there as well. All I can think about is when Clarkey said that Argyle were going to get relegated and they got promoted.
A couple of years ago, yeah, we're still down.
How far are we going back? I was just thinking Tom Cleverley might be on the blower. And then we had Shuey on, and he called you on, didn't he?
Did call me out, yeah.
Yeah, that was good fun. All right, let's have a little pause here. We'll come back and talk League One. Well, Northampton and Charlton have been two of our recent muses. We're going to carry on talking Cobblers as they take on the Addicts. As we record, Adrian, still no permanent manager in charge. Ian Sampson, the caretaker, he's in contention for the gig full-time, but not convinced he wants it. He says, them emotions go from yes to no after today's defeat. It's something that's in the back of my mind, but nothing concrete at the moment. There are a lot of clubs, it seems to me, who are kind of drifting at the moment and not being particularly decisive in what they're doing. I appreciate that the Northampton situation maybe came somewhat out of the blue, although we don't know to what extent. But I always find it interesting that clubs seemingly just don't have... I mean, you'd think you'd have your next two, three managers in mind, wouldn't you? Such as the turnover.
Yeah, or at least the next one. But, I mean, what they are doing, they're saving a few quid. they were paying Sampson anyway. So, yeah, they haven't had to fork out on manager's wages for a few weeks. Yeah, look, I think if Sampson says he wants it, it'll be hard for Northampton not to give it to him because he's such a legend there and he's so highly regarded. So, and, you know, I was there when they beat Peterborough. In truth, they were a bit lucky to win that game. There was lots to admire about their spirit and togetherness and their defending, but they were second best. You know, Peterborough were the better team. So there's a bit of work to do. It was a poor performance at Rotherham last time out, 3-0, a little bit weak defensively. They've had, I mean, I like Guthrie at the back, he's a very good centre-back, but they've had a lot of injuries elsewhere, so they've put right back in there recently. I think TJ Iomo is back, the guy who's at Spurs, wasn't he, and at Lincoln. He's a decent centre-back, so I think he might be available for this game. They've got a match tonight as we record on Tuesday in the EFL Trophy against Peterborough as well, so we'll see what happens. I think what we'll see at the weekend is a change up top. Sam Hoskins has done it for the last couple of games, but really for me Tom Eaves has got to come back in and maybe Waghorn, who was out without a club until sort of autumn. And then he's found a new home at Northampton. He's getting up to speed, Martin Waghorn. Just wonder whether they might start to find a system where they can get two strikers working in tandem, particularly if they maybe go to a back three. So keep your eye out on that. That'd be interesting to see what happens. But this is the sort of match they do okay in, Northampton. Unbeaten at home against the bottom half this season, and Charlton are bottom half. They're in 14th. 4 wins and 2 draws. So these are the matches they've done all right in. And it's not an easy place to go, Sixfields. You know, you've got to have your mentality right, I think, if you're Charlton Athletic coming into this game, because it will be a scrap. It won't be a pretty game, and we'll see if they fancy it, Charlton.
Well, you'd imagine, Sam, if there's one thing Nathan Jones can do, it's get his players up for a scrap. But you wonder how much rope he's got left, right? They've won 1 of 9 in the league. That was at Lowly Burton. I know you were on hand for that one. We keep kind of expecting it to turn around for him and them, don't we? But it doesn't seem to be doing it anytime soon.
Well, they certainly feel like one of the biggest underachievers at the moment, I would suggest, in the... possibly the EFL, when you think of the size of the club and the anticipation going into this season with Nathan Jones as the manager at that level, and the way that he started immediately made them hard to beat, didn't he? A lot of draws in there, but I think we all collectively thought they would have a push for the playoffs minimum this season. So it's really difficult to put your finger on it. I don't think much is changing. Much has changed since the last time we spoke on it. There is a distinct lack of goal threat, creativity. Only 5 teams scored fewer. I looked at the last couple of games where they haven't scored in 3. They've had 2 goal-laden games in the cup, but that kind of gets pushed to one side when you're not doing it in the league, especially in front of your own fans. But yeah, just 3 shots on target in the last 2 games. Lee Byrne, I think off the bench the other day, spurned a couple of really good chances to win against Mansfield, 1v1, 1 header. And that's across the board. It's a collective thing. It's the midfield as well, which, beginning to sound like a broken record, just lacks craft, lacks guile. So the squad still needs surgery. But I'm where I was a while ago. I think above any other club, maybe at that level, got to see it through now with Nathan Jones. Got to stick with him, give him January, and then obviously reassess in the summer if there isn't an upturn. Of course, there's dissenting voices. There are always going to be, and there's criticism. And it's purely, I think, on that basis that defensively they're fine. It's just not a great watch and they haven't got enough goal threat in them. 26th of October, last time they scored twice in a game. That's 7 games ago. That's not enough, especially when you think of the caliber probably of the player they've got across the squad. So it's difficult to put your finger on it, but I would absolutely call for calm still and hope that Nathan Jones can turn it around after the window.
On paper, that's probably not really a Northampton player that gets in Charlton's team. Sam's right. It's a higher pedigree level player. So, but it's, I think it's a 50-50 game. Yeah, not, what Northampton might do is give off a few chances. I think they've faced the second most shots in League One this season. So, yeah, it might be the day where Charlton gets some goals.
Just quickly, Ian Sampson was my captain when I was at Northampton. And I actually lived just a few doors down from him. He was at a different stage of life, so we say. I was 19 years old, living with one of the other young lads who was in the first team. So we probably woke him up on a few occasions getting back.
He didn't come out with you.
Sorry, Sam, if you're listening. But great geezer, really good captain. Everything you'd want in terms of leadership and running the dressing room, and a legend there as well. I think he was promoted at Wembley when one of my other old teammates, John Frayne, scored the winning goal from a free kick. So he's a big part of their history. Would love to see him do it and be successful, but sounds like there's a bit of reluctance there.
Were you out in Northampton, or did you have to venture a little bit further? It doesn't strike me as being sort of vintage place for nightlife.
Fine. 19. Yeah. It was probably to my detriment early part of the season. And then I think I've rolled out this story before, but there was a change in manager. Kevin Broadhurst took over from Kevin Wilson, the old Chelsea Kevin Wilson.
Great tash, yeah.
I think, indeed. He'd shaved it off by this stage. Assisted by Russell Slade, which I always enjoy getting in. And Kevin Broadhurst got me in the office one day and read the Riot Act about various things. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I've got the stomach for this. I was only alone from Chelsea. So he's hammered me about various bits and bobs, about playing things, but probably about my conduct
playboy
as well to a degree. And I knuckled down. I played more or less every week. We were not a good team, but we stayed in the division. Scored a few goals, not many. But then I saw Kevin a couple of years ago and I said to him, do you remember that? It was really nice like to see him. And then I said, do you remember that? And he said, no, not really. But this is what happened. And I said, that was so good for me, because nobody had probably ever spoken to me in football land in those terms. And I wasn't too big for my boots, but I was a young player on loan from Chelsea. And it was probably holding me back a little bit. You go to a club like that and they expect you to probably beat 3 or 4 players and smash it in the corner, and I was struggling a little bit and it had probably affected me, and he got stuck into me, and I don't know, it just clicked from then on in, and me and Jamie Forrester struck up a decent partnership for a period. So and Samo was the captain that time, so he was big part of it, big part of a robust back three, back five who could defend their box and some.
All right, well, we'll see if he gets the gig full time. Nice to get a mention of Slade in at Christmas as well. we've been talking a lot about managers. Well, if Gareth Ainsworth was under any illusion as to the size of the task he faces in keeping Shrewsbury up, he surely isn't anymore. They go to Wigan this weekend, 10 points adrift of safety at the foot of the table. We'll start with the hosts, though, Sam. Big win for them at Bolton last weekend after back-to-back defeats in the league. I mean, they're still pretty close to the bottom four, aren't they? Just 4 points off relegation. But they could be looking up as well and thinking there's not that big of a gap for us to bridge to the playoff places. Are you thinking that they're involved in either of those contests, or is this a season where they are just resolutely mid-table?
Yeah, I think so. Probably mid-table. I think, you know, I watched them a couple of weeks ago and it was really evident to me that they need to improve their attacking options. And I think that's still the case. I think your lad, or he was your lad, I think he still is, Dale Taylor. I think he is doing relatively well. I think he's had a few goal involvements recently. I think he's got 4. But he needs a bit of help in that department. Maybe someone with a bit more physicality. Asgard is their best player. He scored and assisted in the win at Bolton, which was, a bit of a statement victory. I think the frustration is that they can seem to do it every now and again, Wigan, and they struggle. I think they lost heavily to Leyton Orient recently. They struggle in the games where maybe teams allow them to have the ball because they're a decent football side. Smith in the midfield gets on it. They normally play him as a pivot by himself. He gets on it. Asgard kind of roams around. Nice footballer. They've got youthfulness. They've got good wide players. Silco Thomas had a really good effect in this game at Bolton. But I think they probably struggle in those games when teams are really physical and robust up against them and go, go on then, break us down. I think a more open game against the better teams probably suits Sean Maloney and his side. So I think there's a bit of frustration there that they can't be more consistent. Defensively, very, very good. Kerr and Ameson, centre-halves, as good as you're going to get maybe at the level. I think only Wrexham conceded fewer. And the goalkeeper, Tickle, is top notch. So yeah, I think, and I know it's an easy line to say they've got to do something in January, but you know, at this level you're probably talking about low knees to come in and improve, probably from a Premier League club or maybe even dipping into the Championship. But absolutely, if they can get a little bit more firepower, yeah, mid-table is probably the reality. It's not maybe going to be the season where they're challenging for promotion as we maybe anticipated, but yeah, I think that would be probably enough to stave off any real criticism here, considering they've scored four in the last two and Shrewsbury have not built on that victory over Birmingham. You'd fancy the home win.
Yeah, I mean, what on earth is Gareth Ainsworth going to do here, Clarkie? Not just to try and keep them up, but to stop them going down in a humiliating fashion. Three wins from 19 games. Sam mentions that really incongruous looking win against Birmingham, but they just haven't kicked on from there. And they look a team destined for League Two.
Yeah, and maybe a team destined for a struggling League Two next season as well. That's the fear, isn't it? I think at Shrewsbury, and the standards have dipped so much that really stick this team in League Two, they wouldn't be in the top half. I'm pretty sure of that. So yeah, he's got some work to do. He will rip it up, I think, this weekend. He's been going with the 4-4-2 diamond, Gareth Ainsworth, but obviously three bad losses in a row. 2-1 at home to Blackpool, 4-1 at Cambridge, 4-1 at home to Wickham. I think that will force his hand to maybe change the shape. Might go back to back three or five, I suspect. What I'd like to see him do is get Leo Castledine. I know you guys.
Castledine.
Get him and Jordan Shipley in the same team. Yeah, they need wins. They need goals. And I know they're not strikers, but they are probably the two more creative players in the team. And at the moment, it's one or the other. And, you know, if Castledine's not doing it, off he comes on the hour, on comes Shipley or vice versa. And I don't know. Give those boys a bit more confidence. Play them both. So yeah, let's see what happens there. He might change the goalkeeper. I don't know if you've seen the goals lately, but Toby Savin, he's been having a stinker, a real stinker. A horror show really at Cambridge. Probably three of the four goals were mistakes from him. And you know, you can see the defenders in front of him, like, almost like hands on their heads, like, what are you doing, mate? You know, like, there's a bit of a disconnect between him and them. Definitely the finger of blame has come from the defenders on Savin. And then, of course, against Wickham early on in the game, comes out for a corner, doesn't get it. Wickham score and they go on to win easily. So he's got a decision to make there on the goalkeeper. Just defensively, they've been poor. You know, they've conceded two or more goals in 13 of 19 games, right? And they've scored one or less in 15 of 19 games. So the maths tells you that it's absolutely no surprise that they're not winning. So they've got to change it. The director of football is getting hammered locally, I think, Mickey Moore, for the recruitment. So yeah, he'll be getting it in the net rather than Gareth Ainsworth, who's got to probably just try everything, experiment and see if he can find some kind of formula in the coming weeks.
Good luck. Tough task that. In League Two, Newport County against MK Dons is the game we're focusing on. MK only a point off the playoff places with games in hand. Newport mired in mid-table, but Adrian, the Exiles have drawn each of their last four in the League Two. Three of them have been away from home. Clean sheets in three of those two. So that feels like solid, if unspectacular, progress.
It's a bit boring, really, if you're a Newport fan at the moment. Four goalless draws in the last six games. So, like, if you're the manager, I suppose Jardine, you're probably feeling quite satisfied about that, aren't you? Because it's nice and solid, aren't we? But the bottom line is they haven't won since the 1st of October. And we're almost at the 1st of January, aren't we? So it's, almost. Yeah, we're getting towards it. So, that's an issue. They're just not having enough shots. The fewest shots on target in League Two, the fewest shots in the box in League Two by 13. You know, the next closest has had 13 more shots inside the box. So a bit more passing this season, although that promise of better football has sort of been tempered a little bit. They still average, I think, a lot under 50% possession. I think it's around 47%. But, when they do knock it around, they're not finding that penetration. They're not creating enough opportunity. So, I think at the moment they're missing a couple of really good experienced players, Aaron Wieldig and Courtney Baker Richardson, two players that the listeners will probably be familiar with. They're missing. So they're just a bit low on experience and players that are guaranteed to do the business. Just wanted to mention Bobby Kamwa, former Burton player, left-sided forward. I looked at some of the numbers. He's been generating very, very good. He was on the bench in the last game, but he's had the most shots in the box, the second most shots on target, the joint most amount of successful crosses. He's created loads of chances in open play. He's a ball winner as well. So Bobby Kamwa is someone to keep your eye on, as is Carl Hudlin. You won't miss him. The big, tall, giant striker. He's got four goals this season. Three of them headers, right? I think, is he the guy that's 6'8" or something like that, Carl Hudlin? I think he's something ridiculous. He's Crouch-esque in terms of height. Okay, Carl Hudlin, three of his four goals have been headers. Newport have put in the fewest number of open play crosses, Sam, in the division. You're fuming, aren't you? Come on, it's got to be... You've got to play to the strengths of the guy.
I'm going
to
be biased here because I saw one of those headed goals in the flesh at Valley Parade. Yeah. So he's capable. I think on Newport, I think they probably came into this season, given the appointment, with a plan that they were going to execute some better soccer. And they've maybe just felt it was quite problematic early weeks of the season. So I think there's been a bit of a change. I think there was a bit of a variety the night I saw them. So I think this is a difficult game. I think MK Dons gives probably managers and coaching staff at the level a real challenge and an opportunity to actually plot sometimes different game plan, because you're coming up against a team that's pretty unique here, Matt.
Yeah, he's 6'7". And a half, Kyle Hudlin.
Wow, it's close, yeah.
It's pretty big. Scott Lindsay's done pretty well, hasn't he, Sam? And the little slip at home to Gillingham last time out, but six wins in a row in the league. Before that, he's looking for back-to-back promotions.
Done better than pretty well. I think 11 games he's been there for now. They're certainly top of the form guide over 10, 22 points. Walsall have accrued the same, so... Yeah, he's had an incredibly good start. We're probably talking in slight hushed tones or less enthusiastically because they got beaten by Gillingham last time out, and Gillingham did a real job. Not too many attempts, just frustrated and dark arts, and ground out a hard-fought 1-0. But I think Scott Lindsay was quick to say that can happen, across any season. You're not going to win every game. What they have been is... excellent on the road. 11 goals in their last three games away from home. Victories, all of them. You would fancy them to win here, despite it being a difficult game. That match, I think Clarkie referred to, that Salford, was that their last home win, I think, which was the game before they went to Bradford, which seems an eternity ago that I was up there for that one. So it's been a while they've tasted victory at home. You would fancy MK Dons, and I strongly think that it's minimum playoffs for MK, and I would probably say I expect them to be promoted in the top three, which is a hell of a shout for me at this stage of a season. you two boys knowing me.
Imagine that.
I like to keep the cards close to my chest, but I think the form, I think the squad, I think the manager, not to put any pressure. Alex Gilby, 9 goals after I saw him in Portugal in the summer as well, inspired him. This campaign, it's all there, all the ingredients.
Okay, now.
All right, well, that is good news for me, because I've got an acca on to win the respective leagues, Leeds, Birmingham and MK Dons.
Oof.
What you're saying is I shouldn't cash out at this point.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely not, although I fancy Sheffield United.
All right, we'll see.
Leeds won't win the championship. I don't think they will.
Surely they
they won't win.
You'd go Leeds, wouldn't you, now?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you not?
You can't trust Leeds. Not away.
All right. We'll see. 3 points between them in the championship. Mm. Yeah.
Sheffield United at the start of the season. I don't know if it'd still be Sheffield United. Don't know.
Well, we're talking in terms of predictions long term here. So that's a nice way for me to segue into our predictions for this week. Sam, you were the only person who got a point last week. That was it. Coventry versus Hull finished 2-1. I had it down as a 2-2.
Did Adrian, I know not know that? That's made my morning.
You had it as a 1-0. So there's your point. Well done. Enjoy it. Bolton Wigan finished 2-0 to Wigan. Sam and I went for a home win there. Clarkie thought it would be a draw. And Salford Notts. Goodness me. We all blubbed this one big time. 3-0 to Salford it finished. I had a 3-1 Notts win. Clarkie had a 2-1 Notts win. Sam had a 1-1 draw. So that means that Sam has extended his lead ever so slightly. Adrian.
Yeah, 37 to Sam, 28 to me, 18 for you. So it's too many gaps there. We need to make this a bit more competitive. Otherwise, it's going to be a procession for the big man, isn't it? No one wants that.
Nah, very, very, very drab. All right then, Adrian, let's put him under some pressure. Sheffield Wednesday against Stoke. What happens here?
Who, me or Sam?
You.
I think this could be a draw, actually, even though Sheffield Wednesday are doing very well. Danny Roll, of course, bit of speculation around him and the Southampton job at the moment. Hope he stays at Hillsborough because he's got them heading in the right direction, hasn't he? Stoke have a lot of draws. They're not a bad team. They're not a great team. One apiece.
All right. Danny Roll would be absolutely mad to go to Southampton, by the way. I've got this down for a home win and a reasonably comfortable one at 2-0. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, don't mind that. I'm not having Stoke in their current guise. I was looking at this earlier, so I'm going to wheel it out again. You know, Ben Gibson scored at both ends the other day, right, against Cardiff. He scored 3 goals in the right end so far this season, and he scored 2 own goals, yet he scored another one, give or take, but it went in off the goalkeeper, so the goalkeeper got credited with it. I'm giving him, he scored 3 goals at both ends, basically, this season, twice in the same game.
So he got 6 for the season. Is that how you call it, or has he got none?
That's unprecedented, though, isn't it? Like, what's going on there? I mean, fair play to him, like, having the setback and the embarrassment of scoring OGs and then just going up the other end and going, do you know what? I better just produce something.
Cancel that out, yeah.
Yeah, he's done it like 3 times. Incredible. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, I'm not having Stoke at the moment. Sheffield Wednesday been a bit indifferent, but I'll go with you, Matt. I'll go 2-1 Wednesday.
Okie dokes, that is logged. Sam, Stockport, Peterborough, League One, what do you think?
Oh, it doesn't stink of 1-1, stinks of goals. Stinks of goals. Oh, Posh are a bit mad, aren't they? Keep coming out on the right side. 3-2 Stockport.
Just what I was thinking. Adrian?
Got 3-1 here. I'm going to stick with it. It's 3-1 Stockport. Peterborough are too fragile at the back. Good forwards. Haven't got good defenders.
All right, this might be the first time that this scoreline has ever been predicted. I'm going to go 4-2 to Stockport. Let's go goal crazy. Why not? Morecambe Bromley last up. I'll take the lead on this one, and I'll say that this is going to be a 0-1 away win. What do you reckon, Sam?
I quite fancy Bromley here. Like, I just feel like it's the type of game they could go and grind. But they won at Aki last time. Oh, God, they're on a good run, aren't they?
Very good run.
They're on a great run. What did you say, Matt?
0-1, Bromley victory.
Stinks of it. 1 each.
Adrian?
They are unbeaten in 8, and they've lost 1 of their last 12, Bromley. Lots of draws. Sam's on to something. But I think it's not an intimidating place to go, is it, Morecambe? I think Bromley are going to go there and win 2-1.
Well, All right. We'll let you know on our next show how we got on there. Let's finish, though, with a tweet of the week. This one comes from Wilson Isidore of Sunderland, who has put up a lovely picture of him and his pals celebrating at Swansea. He says, "What a team, stars in the eyes emoji. So proud of this one. We'll never surrender. Crossed swords emoji." And then he's got the word ceiling, but it's kind of blanked out a little bit, as if to strike through it, I think, but he hasn't quite got the strike through graphic right. So it'd be ceiling, no, sky is the limit, sky emoji, hashtag WI18, hashtag Sunderland, hashtag SAFC. Clarky, I'm just going to have a little look on the hashtag WI18. It is primarily Wilson Isidore who's used it. In fact, as I scroll down, I can't see literally anybody else other than him who's got involved with the hashtag of yet. You have to go back down to somebody called Cupcake Shotzi on the 20th of October, who used the hashtag to vote for somebody called Kevin in something to do with ice hockey.
What?
By the looks of it.
Has Sam Parkin ever used the hashtag SP9 or whatever your number was? It feels a little bit big time, doesn't it? AC29.
I've got it on the bottom of my swimming pool abroad. You know, I've got the big mural.
You got it in the middle of your pool table.
Yeah, I got it in the middle of my pool and on the things, the front of my house, whatever they're called, those ones that would have pillars. Been in footballers' wives. Yeah, the big pillars at the front of my Mock Tudor mansion. SP.
How do you do how do you scratch a word out on social media?
I can't do it on X. You have to do it on an external website and then copy and paste it. This is a great chat, isn't it? Shout out to Pamela Klingerhorn as well. 5th of December 2017. She wants to thank Bloomsbury Publishing for a delicious pile of literary treats. They had sent her some books for Christmas and she used the tag WI18 for some reason.
Deserves credit because there's a lot going on here and it's very busy. Sophisticated tweet. You know what I mean? In terms of the emojis, the language,
the weird fonts,
yeah. But hashtagging your shirt number in the championship, yellow. And it's a yellow, isn't it? So I'll be keeping an eye on him.
Well done, Wilson. Keep going with the hashtag. Oh, yeah. Pipe dreams are good in a way. Maybe somebody will follow it, but not for a while. That's going to do us for this week. Let me remind you, though, that our partners, Quinbet, have a new offer for you. You can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater. At the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on X and on Instagram as well. If you'd like to give us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, that all helps us grow the show too. We'll have a couple of weeks off now over the festive period and be back with you in the new year. So enjoy the football between now and then, and we'll speak to you soon.